This is a Collider.com audio interview.
So you seem pretty busy right now.
I've got a full plate. Yes, I do. Ooh, there's some part of the iPod. That's nice. A phone recording?
Yeah.
Great. Nicely done. All right. I'm a bit of a tech geek. I have a subscription to Popular Science, and you know, I keep up on all this stuff.
That's how you're able to pilot spaceships.
Well, that's exactly how. That and watching a lot of Star Wars.
So can you talk about how you came to this project and what the experience was like working on it?
I had a meeting with Adrian Shelley. I heard about the...
Can we close that door, please?
Hello?
Hi, can we close that door, please?
Yeah.
Hello? Sorry about that.
Well, all right,
well, just
no problem.
Or any other. Okay, we'll start.
So I heard about the project. I was able to read the script. I knew that Kerry Russell and Cheryl Hines were going to be involved, and I'm a big fan of both of theirs. So when I had an opportunity to go and meet with Adrian Shelley, it almost didn't work out, actually. When she was free, I actually had a trip planned that overlapped with when she was going to be in Los Angeles. Because I was going off to New York to see a friend of mine, Alan Tudyk, was doing a Broadway show. He was in Spamalot. And it worked out that she was only in L.A. for the day because she was going back to New York. So we got to have our meeting, but we had it in New York, in of all places, a diner.
Okay. And what was the experience like being on set?
You know what? Piece of cake. This movie, I think we shot it in 20 days. And... you know, Kerry Russell, I don't think there's 30 seconds of this movie that she's not in. So she carried the movie. She had to work the hardest, she and Adrian both. And, of course, the crew. I think I was finished in, well, definitely less than a week. I think I had six, maybe five working days. I was in and out. Nobody got hurt. For me, it was a piece of cake.
Can you talk a little bit about the motivation of your character? What motivated her...
you know, to fall in love with her? Was it the tires, or was it her? You know, obviously, Jenna is. In the beginning, we see that she's obviously guarded. She's obviously got some kind of a wall up to the world around her. She is inside a wonderful, loving, caring, caring individual. But the only way that she can express this to the outside world is these amazing pies that she makes. Something happens to her in her life. How she deals with it is she closes her eyes and she invents a pie. And that pie affects everybody around her. The people that eat that pie, something moves inside them. And that's her way of expressing herself. I think Dr. Pomatter is one of these people that can look at someone and see their worth and see what they are inside. And he was able to, you know, in expressing his affection for her, he was able to kind of pull that out and bring it to the surface in Jenna.
Do you see your character as a philanderer, or just someone who,
Oh, absolutely not! No. This is a guy who's. I mean, he's married. I think what the movie is about for me is people simply trying to be happy. I mean, that's what we're all doing in this, you know, grand life of ours. Is we're just trying to make decisions on a daily basis that make us happy, and how conscious we are of it, or how conscious we are not. We make decisions all the time that shape how our life is gonna end up. I think Dr. Pomatter is simply looking for something that makes him happy, and he sees that in Jenna. Is it the right decision? That's also, I think, what the movie's about. Are we making the right decisions to bring us happiness? I mean, he's married. He's obviously unhappy. He's obviously in a relationship where he's looking for something else. He needs something else. Jenna, we can forgive a little more readily for being unfaithful to her husband because it's obviously an abusive relationship and even a dangerous one. Whereas Dr. Pomatter, I mean, it doesn't look like anybody's getting beat up over there. It looks like he's got a perfect life, a perfect wife. She's beautiful. She's a doctor. They live in a nice house. What could possibly, you know, be wrong? But it's one of those nebulous things. We all know couples and hear about people say, oh, they're getting divorced? Like, they seem so good together. Like, what could possibly be wrong? But we don't know what brings people together and what drives them apart, and what's in their heart and what's satisfying people. I think that's where I put Dr. Pomatter, was in that kind of a nebulous obviously there's something that he's unfulfilled.
So do you feel Dr. Pomander's initial attraction to Jenna was something deeper than just a waitress fetish, right?
Because absolutely.
He does mention that on their conversation in the park bench.
Certainly she's an attractive woman, and certainly there's that can't be denied. But like I said, I think there is something within Jenna that she doesn't readily express. You have to dig, or you have to have that ability to see that within someone.
You're also on the show Drive right now.
That's true.
Can you talk a little bit about what's upcoming on that show, and what's the experience like versus when you were working on Firefly?
What was the first question?
Working on Drive, and what's coming up on the show?
Working on Drive, a lot of fun. Here, this is Tim Minear, whom I worked with before on Firefly, of course. He called me up, said, "I've got a part for you. You will love." And I love Tim's writing. I love his stories. I love his character, his dialogue. He has a knack for reveals, and he has a knack for moments. He builds moments, and that's if there's anything that draws me to a character that makes me want to play a character badly, it's specific little moments that tell me exactly who that character is, and I'm dying to play those moments. On Drive, I was very excited to be working with Tim because of, I know his talent and respect it. And if he said, "I've got a part for you that you're going to love," I believe him. And he was right. The similarity to Firefly. Here's the differences. Pants aren't as tight. It's not an old spaceship. It's an old sports car. It's an old muscle car. So that's there's a similarity there. A guy with something inside. There's something inside him that's dark. I think Malcolm Reynolds had that. I think Malcolm Reynolds was a little more on the surface. With Alex Tully, I think it's reversed. I think on the surface he wants to be his happiness self. He wants to be the old Alex Tully that he was when he grew up. But something he took, his life took him in a different direction, and he made some decisions, and he became a darker kind of a person. Well, he pulled himself out of that to live a life that he wanted to live. So I think there's a darkness that lives within him.
You're pretty tight with Joss.
Yes.
And there's obviously a lot of people out there who really like Serenity and, et cetera, et cetera. Is there ever any talk about what can we do to continue the characters, whether it be animated, comic book, whatever it might be?
There's a lot of talk between Joss and I. We don't talk about that a lot, no. Between Joss and I, our experience is we had an amazing television show that was short-lived. I wasn't ready to say goodbye. He wasn't ready to say goodbye, as evident in his effort to make that film. So you have this fantastic, amazing job. It gets cut short. All you want is to bring it back and to have it again in some way. And the way we got it back was a major motion picture. And I mean, you couldn't ask for more. And that's how I feel. I got my second chance. I got my second shot in such a big way with a major motion picture. How could I ask for more? I got what I wanted.
Do you fear being on the Fox Network? They have a reputation for having a trigger finger on pulling shows.
I can't live in fear. And I've been there. I've lived there. I'm in control of a finite amount. I go to work. My intent is to tell the best story I possibly can, is to breathe life into this character as best as I possibly can, and to enjoy myself while I'm doing it. I love my job. I have the best job in the world. As far as where it goes from there, it's out of my hands. Once it's out of my hands, I find the less I worry about it, the better off I am.
Have you worked with many female directors?
Yes.
Do you see a difference? Is there a difference on a film set or a TV set when a woman's in charge instead of a man?
No. You know what? I don't see a difference. I mean, my mom's a woman, and I used to take orders from her all the time. So, I'm not... I don't find myself to be gender-specific as far as how I deal with people, and it matters very little to me.
But in terms of this screenplay in particular, would you think that this kind of feeling or this kind of insight could have come from a guy? Or do you think that this is something that's so unique to the female perspective?
Adrian told me that she wrote this when she was pregnant, and she was having fears and feelings that weren't that weren't the, oh, I am the miracle of life, and it's going to be wonderful, I'm going to be a fantastic mother. Like, all these things that you figure that women are supposed to be feeling whilst pregnant. She was feeling terror and fear, and should I, and am I? And she says, you know what, people don't really deal with that, and it's a truth. There is a truth in what she was experiencing, and other women experience it as well. So she said that was her inspiration to write this film. So could a man have that insight? Probably not.
So obviously that's the one sad part about this whole experience, is that Adrian made this movie that's very inspirational at the end, and a lot of people leave the theater feeling, you know, very happy and uplifted for what happens to her character, but
yes.
Her own fate is incredibly tragic. It's almost, has this been like a surreal experience to experience like an independent movie that you never know what's going to get picked up, something tragic happens, and then it goes to Sundance and gets bought for $5 million and could be a big word of mouth. I mean...
Yes, certainly. You know what, my entire career has been surreal. I studied to be a high school teacher in Edmonton, Alberta. So anything after that that has to do with the entertainment industry, to me, is surreal. And I kind of look at it as an observer rather than a participant. Going to Sundance was surreal. Having a movie at Sundance was surreal. The tragedy, that was surreal. I think that's life. And that's this movie. Sometimes life is tragic, and sometimes life is sad. It's what do you do with your life? What do you make of your life? I'm really happy that Adrian Shelley made this movie. I'm sad that she wasn't able to see what it became and how it's affecting people. It's unfortunate that it's this wonderful piece of work that should have been just one more piece of work in a long line of amazing things that Adrian Shelley did. Now it's her legacy. I'm sad about that. I'm happy and I'm proud to have been a part of it.
I know it's kind of generic to ask, you know, what's it like working with so-and-so, but could you talk a little about working with Adrian? Because, I mean, like a lot of people, you know, this was kind of my first exposure to her, and I loved her performance and her story, so...
I've always noticed a difference between working with a director and working with a writer-director. In how much they're invested, in how specific they are. I remember talking to Adrian Shelley about some of the scenes, thinking, I mean, I can do it like that, no problem, but that's what you want? Really? Okay. And laughing about it, thinking, that'll be a little strange and that'll be a little weird, but now, after having seen the final product, now I see her vision, now I see what kind of a little slice of life that she was creating, and she's right on the money. What was your question, I'm sorry?
Oh, just how it was working with her.
She's a lovely, lovely lady. I remember she has a very easy smile. She'll smile for no reason. She's one of those, there's people that have energy that say, don't come near me, don't get too close. There's people like Adrian Shelley who have the energy of, come over here, give me a hug. And if you're around me, you're going to be happy about it. She has this, she's always wearing hats. There's something about someone who always wears cute little hats. She's a little tiny girl with lots and lots of energy. And a lot of responsibility, being a writer, director, and one of the actors in the film. That's a lot of hats to wear. But to handle it with her attitude, with her warmth, and with her... it was very positive. She's a very positive person.
Could you talk about... Could you talk about the experience, the kissing scene in this film? That is so hilarious, but it's kind of... expression about the, you know, their kind of feeling of it's kind of tough for you. It's kind of many people, you know,
sons. Oh yeah, you know, any romantic scene I've ever done, the last thing that they are is romantic in any way. I mean, you're there in front of a bunch of guys. You know, nothing's real about it. It's all choreographed, and it's all. You want to let these two characters have this experience and have this feeling, but as two actors, you're pretty much strangers. trying to have this collaborative effort. Carrie was absolutely wonderful to work with, and she was so sweet and willing to be thrown about the room over desks and up against walls and onto, you know, medical exam tables. It's certainly not the most... it's awkward, to say the least. But to have someone there who's they're there to make it the best that it can possibly be, that's what makes it worthwhile.
Is it based on the script or directions or you guys' improvisations?
All of the above. I mean, it was important to the story. It was written in there, and we come up with things. Once we're in the set, we can come up with more stuff that as to where, how it can go and where it can go. So all of the above, yeah.
Can you talk about what you have coming up after Draws? I
think that's it. I'm actually off to London. I'm going to go do. I'm going to be involved with an art piece. I don't want to talk too much about it until it actually happens. But it's pretty exciting. You'll learn more.
You've got White Noise 2 coming out.
I have no idea when White Noise 2 is coming out, unfortunately.
How important is improvising to your process as an actor?
Someone told me a long time ago, I would far prefer, rather than see someone acting, I like seeing someone reacting. And I think, and I did improv, that was where I actually got my start, was in Edmonton doing improv. It's helped me phenomenally in just so far as being present in the moment. I know what my next line is, but if you're not listening and processing what you've heard that makes you create your next line, that's what improv taught me, is to be present in that moment and to listen and to react rather than to act.